right. We are here at the Dragonfly booth at NATA in Houston. And I am Amanda Martinez. I'm currently in Texas State, and I'm here going to interview Jim Mackey, who was president of CETA. So let's hear a little bit about you and then kind of your Project 17. I'm very intrigued to hear about
it. Thank you very much for having us here today. And I've been a certified athletic trainer since 1975, so I'm one of the old guys, but young at heart, that's why I work with right now secondary school students. But I've had experience in various semi-professional, collegiate for a long time at the University of Florida, and then I've been back in and worked in the high school clinical setting up in Boston for about 4 years, and been back in Jacksonville, Florida for the last 25 years and working.
So you like it there?
I like it there. I was born and raised there, so I went back home.
Okay, went back home. Okay, comfort. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're at the high school now?
Right. I'm in a variety of, about 6 years ago, I was downsized from a hospital and working in a rehab clinic, and I had the opportunity to kind of reinvent myself. And so I was able to keep up the contract with the high school that the hospital had, Trinity Christian Academy, which is a good-sized high school, been very successful in their sports programs. And so kept that up, started my own business, teach CPR, and then had the opportunity to come on board part-time with the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program, which is
kind of a jack-of-all-trades right
jack
there.
Jack-of-all-trades.
You're doing this
and,
all at once.
I do this at once, and also I'm a chapter director for a faith-based a nonprofit that serves the poor. So I have a variety of hats, but with the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program, it's a sports safety advocacy program that has multiple partners. It's apolitical, so we work with all the different hospitals there in Jacksonville, which is a big hospital base, and then we work with a lot of the rehab clinics and just the athletic trainers. We provide a lot of education, and even had a symposium this past year. We can talk about more. Had 11 EBPs at that, and have national speakers come in.
So formal education, and they even get the CEs.
Formal education, that's part of my work. I plan the educational programs, and then we also...
When you're planning these educational programs, are you looking for certain names, certain topics? How do you decide what the format's going to be, and if there's a focus, like this is all concussions, this is all manual therapies?
We started out 7 years ago with a concussion summit, brought in Dr. Collins, Dr. Cantu, Dr. Gutskowitz, other people like that, because concussions was just really coming on board as a very hot topic. From that, we've focused on heat and heat, head, and heart, in a sense. We had Dr. Doug Casa come in and do a very extensive heat, exertional heat illness program. This past year, we focused on mental health for one afternoon, which is very...
The topic that's up and,
right now. And then the next day, we spent on... emergent preparations for events, event coverage, everything from partnering with Stop the Bleed and people learning about tourniquets and wound packing, preparation for events. And, you know, it's not just preparing for an athletic event, but it's...
I was just about to ask, athletic, only athletic based, or are we looking at...
Looking
you know,
at everything.
5Ks,
I'm stealing somebody's quote, but it's like we don't prepare for a athletic event. We prepare for a mass casualty event with an athletic component. So you never know what's going to happen in a setting, because you may have multiple trauma. You may have trauma that happens in the world today, you know, shootings and things like that, unfortunately. But you have trauma with athletes. And then you have the aspect of a lot of psychological preparation and post-injury counseling. We actually had one of the ladies... she had an athlete a week later suffer a sudden cardiac arrest, had to do CPR on the field, but wrote us a very nice letter about some of the things that she learned at our symposium, such as depth of compression, the amount of force that you have to use to get the proper compression. We had the types of dummies or mannequins that lit up and that measure that, as well as learned agonal breathing.
Those, and they give you the actual feedback you need, as opposed to the other ones that just kind of pump and you make a sound. And
And reinforce the concept that agonal breathing is not normal breathing. And this person suffered all those things. And so although it wasn't a great outcome, it was a great learning experience for her, and that they were prepared, you know, for it. And that was good. So it's been a, we do multifaceted things. But with a symposium, we just, some years it's on orthopedics. Some years it's just on a variety of topics that are of interest to athletic trainers, physicians, physical therapists, others, the EMS people. We do a lot of hands-on training. We'll be preparing for that in July, this next week, meeting with all of our EMS personnel in the city and private ambulance companies, and building the relationship with them, sharing their protocols and what we learn from the new pre-hospital care guidelines and possible equipment removal and that, just so we're all on the same page. And then later in the month, we'll have a program for all of our athletic trainers with the EMS groups there, so they can put these things into practice and practice their skills before school starts.
Do they do like also like a, do you do like a mock event where you have, there's that overlap, like, you know, you call EMS in, and are they practicing those types of stuff too, or is it all just kind of?
We will try and make it as realistic as possible. 2 years ago, we did a program where we have a lifelike group where we had the doctors and athletic trainers responded to an event on the field. They called in lifelike, which comes from a, less than 10 minutes away. They package them on the field. The ambulance land, I mean the helicopter lands, makes a transfer, picks them up, everything's gone in less than 10 minutes. So we had that on the field where people could practice that and see that happen. And we mixed in exertional heat illness and the proper use of the cold tub and temperature monitoring and things like that. So try and make it as realistic. This year we hope to add some scenarios of practicing your real emergency action plan, not just, oh, I got that, but just really practice it, come up with some scenarios. And I noticed one school did something on handling opioid crisis events where a person has a drug overdose and that. So we may be seeing more of that. And it's an epidemic even in our city, the opioid crisis. And we'll be giving a talk on that in October.
So a variety of things. So how many symposiums do you have? So you mentioned some
one,
October.
We have one annual symposium in April. And then we have about six. We call them educational lecture series. They're just one-hour CEU programs that they can come. And we provide that for, again, the athletic trainers and other EMS and physicians and people around the city that want to come to something like that.
Do you see, so it's all mostly just people in your city that come out? Do you see people from farther away coming in just to kind of get a taste for it?
Our symposium is bringing in people from all over the Southeast. We've seen it grow upwards to 200 people come to the event. We try and bring in nationally recognized speakers as well as local and regional experts in the field, such as like Dr. Casa, and we had Tim Neal come in and do our mental health program. Which was very, very helpful. So I think one of the things we want to talk about was Project 17.
Someone put that little bug in my ear, Project 17, and I haven't heard of it. So by all means, please, what is it?
Okay, Project 17. The long story is, you know, a few years ago, the NFL created some seed money for communities to put athletic trainers out at athletic events or Friday night football or things like that. Well, Project 17 is a very unique situation because it's one of the only or few programs that is putting, the goal is to put a certified athletic trainer in the 17 Duval County Public Schools by the year 2020. And in doing that, we have partnered with the NFL, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville University, and other partners, Florida Blue, to help fund that program until the Duval School Board will take over by the year 2020. And so
I think I didn't know it was called Project 2017. Someone I talked to earlier kind of mentioned that.
Yeah, Project 17. Okay. And it we just graduated the first five, have their master's in kinesiology from Jacksonville University. They're already certified athletic trainers.
Okay.
So they've been 2 years in the school, and now they're in the interview process for their full-time position. And then we added two last year, and we're adding another five this fall. So there will be 12 certified athletic trainers in the 17 schools this year.
Okay.
And so that's been a great thing. And each of the schools has a team physician they operate with, that they work with. They have policies and procedures. It's an actually great training ground. They're mentored along the way. And
Who are they mentored by along the way?
They're mentored by other certified athletic trainers, myself, Robert Sefcik, who's the executive director of the program, some of the other mature athletic trainers in our area, we're stepping up to help out.
Are they just volunteering their time to come by?
Volunteering their time,
and
we hope to come up with a full-time supervisor for these 17 athletic trainers, so they'll have somebody they can always be accountable to and be accessible for mentoring or whatever else is needed.
Okay.
And that. And then we've been able to draw in some great vendor partners who have helped with supplies, who have helped with supporting the program along the way. Mm-hmm. And the students get to learn more about, the supplies that they're using and what is important, what is necessary to have, and how to make the best use of a budget. And they're learning all those things in the, even in the kinesiology program, they're getting advanced athletic training opportunities. They're getting opportunities to go witness surgeries with orthopedic physicians, getting to do rounds with the physicians. So it's a great learning opportunity for them during their time there.
Awesome. That sounds like something I might even want to do. Jeez.
Well, it's a great opportunity. We'll have five more openings over the next 2 years. And it's a great opportunity for a student that's graduated.
Who are you looking for?
Graduates, and as the graduates programs are going away, we'll be tapping out about that same time. But this gives them an opportunity to get a stipend to go to school and get a master's degree as well. So they're getting paid, and they're getting their master's degree, which is a great win-win value for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and 2 good years of experience, and then hopefully a full-time position there in the school.
Yeah, and so when you're looking for these next people, so when do they apply? They just look up Projects 2017?
They look up Project 17, the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program, which is jsmp.us. It has Project 17 information available there, the application process. Usually after the first of the year is when we'll try and get our applications in. So people will have to go get their BOC, their certification, and then give them plenty of time for that, too.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
All the information is right there on the website.
Fantastic. And you need to be certified.
Right. To get the final acceptance in the program, yes, you have to be certified athletic trainer. I graduated from one of the KD-approved ATEP programs.
Okay.
And that. So... it's a great opportunity. It's something we have worked for in Jacksonville for over 30 years to get certified athletic trainers in the public schools, because it's been a hodgepodge of outreach-based programs. There were the haves and the have-nots, and all these schools are Title I schools. But we started at the let's say the most disadvantaged, challenged schools. We started providing for them first.
The ones who are in need
and
more.
Then the haves will kind of get that opportunity at the end.
Well, it makes sense if they already have
very inequitable about
this. That's
right.
Stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for your time. If you want to, again, tell us the website one more time. That way, if anyone's listening, they can know where to go to and any contact information you'd like to share.
Okay. It's the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program. It's jsmp.us. It's 904-202-4332. And they want to talk to Robert Sefcik. He's the executive director of the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program, and he'll be happy to provide you all the information that you need to know.
Yeah.
And that's 904-202-4332. And thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you. It sounds like a great program. I actually have a student in mind who I think I need to send to look at it. So thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your time here at NATA.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.